I believe it was last week we heard Jesus say to his disciples, the king of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves. And tonight we see that he acts out these very words. Tonight he takes a towel, wraps it around himself, and washes each of his disciples' feet. If you're familiar with the culture of that time and that place, the person who washed the feet of everyone in the household was the lowest slave. So this is God in the flesh, lowering himself not simply to be a human being, having to eat and sleep, use the bathroom, suffer pain, heat, cold, hunger. But beyond that, he lowers himself to the very lowest slave. So when he said earlier that he comes among us as one who serves, he means it. Everything he says, he does. Everything he declares, he follows through on all the way. This night, the night of the Last Supper, Christ is preparing his closest followers, his inner circle, as best as they can be prepared for such a thing, for his death the next day on the cross. And he couches it in language of service. He says, I am submitting myself to you as a slave. And this is the example he sets for all of us. The word that often gets translated from the original Greek in the New Testament to servant in English, actually in the original Greek means slave. Doulos is slave. And Jesus here reassures us, or reaffirms that this is the case, that it's a slave thing. It's not just a servant thing. He takes on the role of the lowest slave in the household. He who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God in the flesh, becomes the lowest slave. And the very next day, he'll go even further. First, he lowers himself to be the lowest of the slaves. Then he lays down his very life, allows himself to be horribly mistreated, tortured, and killed for our sake. This is a total sacrifice, a total emptying of the Son of God for our sakes. I don't know that any of us could ever serve others to this ultimate capacity that Christ does, but it is what he calls us to. It is the example that he set. During the meal on that Thursday evening, it was the Passover meal. It was what we heard in Exodus this morning was the first Passover meal. And it's to be done every year in remembrance that God delivered his people from death. The angel of death passed over the households that had obeyed God and sacrificed the lamb and taken the blood and smeared it on the doorposts and the lintel of each of the homes. And this night, he takes that unleavened bread and he says, this is my body given for you. And he takes the cup, he says, this is my blood shed for you. Now, of course, in that moment, even though Jesus has been telling them that he's going to be arrested by his enemies and put to death, you can imagine that at least most of the people in that room were still thinking, I don't know, he doesn't really mean that, does he? So in that moment, when he's saying, this is my body given for you, this is my blood shed for you, they may not have realized the full impact or the full reality of what he was saying. We human beings are very good at denial. It's very difficult to accept that our dearest friend, who's also our leader, the one who has worked miracles, the one who has loved us beyond our own capacity to love back, is going to die and be apart from us. So this is what the disciples were facing that night. And you can imagine some of the things that were going through their head. But John the Baptist made it clear 3 years before, when he sees Jesus approaching him to be baptized in the Jordan, John the Baptist, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Any Jew who was paying attention to that would know immediately what John the Baptist was talking about, because every day in the temple, lambs were sacrificed for the forgiveness of the people's sins. So this is a very clear reference for these people. They know exactly, if they're paying attention, what John the Baptist is saying. And yet, they had a hard time really grasping that until it happened and he's on the cross. You can imagine a lot of them didn't quite think this is the way it was going to end up. The message is clear. We are only saved from our sin, which results in death, spiritual death, permanent, eternal death, by covering the entrances to our homes with the blood of Christ, just as the ancient Israelites did so that they would not suffer the death of the firstborn in each household, like the Egyptians did that night. This is the same message that Christ is telling us at the Last Supper. He is that Passover lamb that is to be killed and whose blood saves us from spiritual death, saves us from judgment for sin. And he goes even further. In the Last Supper, he says, "This is my body. This is my blood." And when we come forward to receive the Eucharist, we are consuming the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's not just a metaphor or a symbol. It is the actual body and blood of Christ, which means that Christ seeks to be one with us, to be in us and we in him, not just spiritually, not just psychologically, not just intellectually, but physically. There's a physical oneness involved with Holy Communion. And this is what Jesus established that night, the night before he was to die for us all on the cross. It's one of the most important events in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ is this night, Monday, Thursday, the Last Supper. And that is why Jesus says in John chapter 6, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Physically, literally, every level, as well as spiritually. "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me." Let us all pray this night. Dear Father God in heaven, may we truly embrace, ingest, and believe this radical faith message of Christ, that he is offering us his very body and blood, not just spiritually, not just emotionally, but even physically, so that we might be empowered in every way by His holy eternal life. It is only through the blood of Christ. It is only through being strengthened and sustained by the body of Christ that we can be saved from our sinful state. And we ask You, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to bring that faith to life in us. May we feel it in our hearts and in our minds and in our bodies as we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ this night. Amen.